This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The city of Venice was founded 1,500 years ago on lagoon mudflats at the northern tip of the Adriatic Sea. For centuries, it flourished because of the sea, becoming Renaissance Europe's most important trading port. Today, rising sea levels that some blame on global warming threaten its existence. Many fear that unless drastic measures are taken, the pearl of the Adriatic could disappear. NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports.
It's the feast day of La Madonna della Salute, the Madonna of Health and Salvation. This church was built to thank Mary for saving Venice from a plague in 1630, which killed more than one-third the city's population. Again, a priest calls on Mary to save Venice. At 7:20 a.m., the city has a rude awakening. The sirens, the same as those used in World War II, warn that today's high tide will reach 4 feet 2 inches, flooding half the city. At 10:30 a.m., St. Mark's Square, which Napoleon described as the finest drawing room in Europe, is underwater. Bootless Venetians and tourists are forced to walk on narrow, elevated walkways. This is Acqua Alta, high water, always bad in November, but flooding is getting more and more frequent because the city is sinking as the lagoon loses sediment due to commercial encroachment. And sea levels are rising. So constant moisture and salt water undermine buildings' foundations. A group of tourists enters the Danieli, one of Venice's most luxurious hotels, on wooden planks raised 2 feet above the marble floors. The concierge, his uniform festooned with brass buttons, is trying to keep his poise, but amidst the suffocating stench from the high water, he admits that Acqua Alta makes life in Venice very difficult.
So we have boots, and it's not a good way to stay. Everything is slower. If somebody had to be here to work or going to make a train, it's no more than 20 minutes. It becomes the 40 minutes because the motorboat cannot go underneath the bridge, then we have to make a roundabout. And everything is working much, much slower.
At the Archimede Seguso shop, which sells high-priced glassworks, owner Signora Seguso wades in water up to her knees. She complains that flooding means no business, but she's opposed to any kind of man-made barriers to protect Venice. She says, "I won't go against nature. Nature is rebelling against mankind. We Venetians are quite fatalistic." This attitude infuriates one Venetian noblewoman.
Let it be clear to everyone, Venice was created by human intuition and courage. Venice is a miracle produced by man and nature. It's harmony, like when we're in love, a magical encounter.
87-year-old Contessa Teresa Foscolo Foscari descends from a famous Italian poet and married into the family of Francesco Foscari, the 15th-century doge who was the subject of a Verdi opera. This noblewoman is known for her dedication to saving her native city. She says not doing anything to protect Venice can only further endanger the city, and she's disparaging about what she calls the lack of political courage to do something. The Save Venice debate was triggered by a devastating 1966 flood, when storms sent tides 6.5 feet higher than normal crashing across the lagoon. 5,000 Venetians lost their homes, numerous artworks were destroyed. It wasn't until 1984 that the Italian government granted exclusive rights to a consortium of large private enterprises to implement measures to protect Venice. The consortium's proposal would be the biggest civil engineering project in Italian history. 79 mobile floodgates to be placed on the seabed at the three entrances to the lagoon. Giant hinges would allow them to rise to a vertical position to hold back the waters of the Adriatic when particularly high tides are expected. In Italian, the initials of the project, Experimental Electromechanical Module, form the acronym MOSES. Maria Teresa Brotto is a project engineer.
We found that this is the best solution because we will close the lagoon only during high tides and for small period. About we are speaking about at the moment 4 hours on an average and for 3 times in a year.
For two decades, the Moses Project has been a political ping pong, approved by one Italian government only to be rejected by a subsequent one. The current government of Silvio Berlusconi appears ready to give the final green light to a project that will take at least 8 years to complete at an estimated cost of close to $3 billion. But Moses has many opponents. Environmentalists claim that by mid-century, the sea level rise due to global warming will mean the gates would be up almost permanently, effectively sealing off the city from the sea that has been its lifeline. This, they say, would transform the lagoon into a stagnant pond with devastating effects on marine life and health. This view is supported by an American archaeologist, Albert Ammerman, who has spent many years studying the ancient foundations of the lagoon city. According to Ammerman, flawed, excessively low estimates of how much Venice will sink in the next century ensure that Moses will be of no use.
It will not help you go to the next step. It's not a stepping stone toward a long-term solution. By 2050, the frequency of closing may mean that they're totally obsolete, and those gates will have done nothing to help you than to find or go to the next level of a solution.
Some Venetians believe it's the very people who live off the city who are most unwilling to seek a permanent solution. Venice has lost two-thirds of its population since 1950, and many young people continue to flee to the mainland seeking employment opportunities. Venice, with a population of 60,000, lives purely off an annual invasion of 12 million tourists. Gianpietro Zucchetta, a tall man with an Abraham Lincoln beard, believes this is why Venice has lost its soul. He says this is a city of greedy inhabitants, not civic-minded citizens who care about the long-term future of the city. Sitting at a cafe, he points out that the entire street is lined with designer boutiques and shops selling carnival masks. Once, he says, there was a baker, a grocer, and a butcher. Zucchetta has written several books detailing the history of Venice's canals and bridges. He wants to leave documentation for posterity should the city one day disappear. His solution for Venice is a drastic one.
Just like in the Thomas Mann novel, Death in Venice, what this city needs is another plague that would force all tourists to abandon the city suddenly. Then finally, people here would understand that something must be done.
Otherwise, Zucchetta fears, the prediction made by Lord Byron in 1818 will come true.
O Venice, Venice, when thy marble walls are level with the waters, there shall be a cry of nations o'er thy sunken halls, a loud lament along the sweeping sea.
Silvia Poldroli, NPR News, Venice.